Some replacement level dudes talking about their home team. Starting a Braves podcast was their daggum dream. They like Nick Markakis, even the long ball. One day they'll have more clout than Ken Rosenthal. Oh, you're listening to that Knockoma Nation podcast show. Oh, Knockoma Nation podcast show.
Heyo, it's another episode of the Knockoma Nation podcast show. I'm your host, Ken Hendricks. That's JT Superbeard Main Man Holton.
Why these nicknames?
I don't know. And that is Josh Yuppie from Boone. Looks like he should have been an wrestler from the 70s, Holton. I mean, Brown. I mean, it's Josh Brown, nonetheless.
Kenny, are you drunk? Are you okay?
It's just coffee and water, man. I'm a little fired up. What can I say? Probably not.
JT,
okay.
were you on the...
Kenny got into the fire water today.
Were you part of the show yet when Kenny got a little drunk on whiskey or bourbon? He, like, wasn't making any sense.
I've never been drunk on the show.
Tipsy. You were tipsy.
I might have been, like... I've never had more than two drinks on the show, so I haven't been, like, drunk on the show.
I might have been here, but I was probably drunker, so I didn't notice. Yeah.
I got some new Crocs, you guys.
Whoa. Yeah.
You can't keep Nikki's off of you, I bet, can you?
I went with the old trusty camo, because I've had mine for, like, 6 years. The ones I've worn forever. And they were just worn out, so...
I gotta say this: I'm not a Crocs guy. I'm not offended by people that do wear them. I just never been able to get into them.
Have you ever tried them on?
I have once, and I don't like my foot being covered that way, so it was weird. And so,
do you wear shoes?
It was weird.
What do you mean covered that way?
Yeah, but like Crocs are kind of like, I don't know, they're just a different kind of material. I have a set of like Georgia flip flops that I've owned for like 15 years that I wear, but you know, it's probably the same thing. But I don't know. I just don't have any of it work for me. It's weird.
I feel like you,
Josh, why did you change your name to Rhubarb? I'm just curious. You changed your Twitter handle to Rhubarb. Like, I don't know. What's up with Rhubarb?
Well, there's not much of a story behind it, but I'll tell you if you want me to.
I mean, I just want to wonder why you.
Honestly, I
to
just
be Rhubarb.
I drank like 6 or 7 Rolling Rocks last weekend and. And I changed it to Rhubarb.
Ah.
Because it sounds cool.
So the moral of this story is don't drink 6 Rolling Rocks in one weekend and change your Twitter handle.
Well, mine was, gotcha. It was Santonio Brown. And then at some point it was Booney Brown 69, which I don't know if people remember that one. It was like the Mountain Brown, but it was mm-hmm. the... MTN Brown, and it just didn't look cool, you know, because it's like the MTN Brown doesn't look cool, you know what I mean?
I mean, it was all right.
And then I'm sitting there drinking some Rolling Rock, and I was like, man, and I wasn't even thinking about Twitter at all. I was thinking about Rhubarb Jones because I saw an article about him dying mm-hmm. a couple years ago. I didn't realize he died like 2 or 3 years ago.
Hmm. I thought maybe you'd gotten like a new position at the radio station and you were hosting like Bluegrass Saturday Night or something, and you decided you need to be Rhubarb Brown. This is Rhubarb Brown, and you're listening to Saturday Night Bluegrass on 1HWLHZ TV. I'm Rhubarb Brown. And like you didn't want people to know that your name was actually Josh,
right.
You know, or, you know, I'm Rhubarb. Rhubarb, you're listening to WNGC.
Well, that is going to be my air name if they ever let me on the air. It will be Rhubarb Brown.
Gotcha. Note to any of Josh's friends that might ever listen to this, don't let him on the air. I'm just telling you. Like, it's a bad plan. It's a slippery slope. You'll never get him off the air again. Just tell him.
I'm already on a little bit, but they limit me.
Too late. Mm-hmm. It's too late. JT, you were on vacation this week, right, buddy?
I was, yeah. Yeah, I decided Wednesday just drive to the beach and hang out for a couple of days.
Oh, fun. Fun.
So, yeah, that's what I did.
Where, did you practice social distancing on the beach?
Sure.
Sure. I have to say this. Anyone that gets closer than 6 foot to me at the beach probably needs to be punched in the face anyway.
If there's a beach where I'm within 6 feet of anybody else, that's not the beach I'm going to.
Yeah, I mean,
it gives me an anxiety attack.
Maybe when I was 20 or 21 or 22, maybe that was a different story. But after I graduated, after I was like a junior in college, that was no longer my goal in life, to get close to people at the beach. It was more like, let's get away from people at the beach. That's the whole point of going to the beach. So, yeah, if you're in my space, you're weird. Please stop. You know, just saying. I did try to eat at a Sonny's on Saturday night, and this whole partial open thing is a load of crap. Just, I gotta say, it's like the dumbest thing I've ever heard of.
Why'd you try to eat at a Sonny's?
Well, we had gone out with some family picture for some family pictures, and like Longhorns had a line all the way back out the door, and I was like, "We'll just grab a quick bite from Sonny's." So we stopped at Sonny's, and they were like, "Yeah, it'll be a 30-minute wait." And I was like, "No, it won't." So we got back in the car and went through their drive-thru and got to go. But I looked in the window, and there's like 20 empty tables inside, and they're making people wait 30 and 40 minutes, and I'm like,
oh my God.
But the tables are 6 feet apart, guys. Like,
stupid.
Like, the tables are six feet apart. Why are you making me wait 30 minutes? I didn't tell the woman that. I wanted to tell her that. But I was like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Like, why are you partially
barbecue?
Opening? Yeah. Their sliced pork's okay. I like their sliced pork. Their okra's real good. Fried okra's good. I like the garlic.
I'm a barbecue snob.
I get it. It's not like phenomenal. It's just good. Oh, yeah.
Y'all, I made some smoked ribs over the weekend.
Oh, did you now?
Yeah. Oh man, I
saw you put up a recipe on the old website.
I did. I put a recipe on knockomination.com. And it's not hard. And my thing is, like, if you have a Weber grill, like our buddy Biscuit Salad, he's got a Weber grill. And he just shared with me his secret pork butt recipe, by the way, which I'm going to try this weekend. But if you have a Weber grill, that's all you need. Now, you're limited if you have a big old party. You know, you can only make one slab at a time on a Weber grill. But if it's just you and your lady, you know, and maybe a couple other people, four, dude, you can make an 80-grade slab of ribs, and you put the charcoal on one side. You maybe like 12, 15 pieces of charcoal on one side of the grill. All right, and then you put your slab of ribs on the other side of the grill. It's indirect heat.
Sure.
There's another method called a snake charcoal thing where you put it all around it, but I didn't do that. So just charcoal on one side, ribs on the other side. You close the lid, put the vent on the opposite side of the charcoal so the smoke kind of runs across it, you know, and check it every hour. So, oh, put a pan of water in the middle. But it takes about 3 to 4 hours, depending on how much charcoal you use. And I watched, I've been obsessing about barbecue videos on YouTube now. I watched a bunch of videos, and I watched one guy who put a little bit of sriracha on his. And so I put it on mine. I put it all over mine, actually, and then put butt rub on top of the sriracha. Dude, it was off the chain. It was awesome.
I did some ribs this weekend too, buddy. Mine were on a gas grill. I didn't smoke them, obviously, because, you know, gas grill thing. But I put them in a pan. I did the whole rub thing. Mm-hmm. Did a pan with, it had a little apple juice. I mixed in just a touch of strawberry jelly, of all things. And then it had some bourbon, and it had a little bit of Red Hot. A little bit of Frank's Red Hot mixed in. And that was just the little base that it sat in. And then I rubbed the ribs down with, let's see, it had paprika and Tony Chachere's and some Tabasco powder and what I guess it's called dust, Tabasco dust. And let's see, what else did I put in? Salt, black pepper, and I think cayenne, good bit of cayenne. Mm-hmm. Rubbed them suckers down, put them in there, and then let it cook at about 300 for an hour. And that was in a pan, the pan covered. Uh-huh. After an hour, I took the cover off, laid the ribs directly on the grill, turned the heat up good and hot for about 5 minutes, flipped them in the middle, and let it char the outside just a little bit, so you got like a really nice black char on it. The bourbon works perfect for that. So I like basted them with a little garlic bourbon mix that I'd made. The bourbon helps it char really good.
Yeah.
And I did that and served them up, man. They were really good.
That sounds really good.
The only problem they had was I picked a rack of ribs that had a lot of fat on it, and I should have trimmed them more. The fat, you know how it gets fatty on a rib and you really almost can't even eat it on a rib because you just can't get the meat off. There was several ribs that were that way on one end of them. So I'll pick a better slab next time.
Yeah, that sounds legit for it, because when you started off with the electric grill, I was like, I don't know, or a gas grill.
Yeah.
I wasn't too
Only ran two of the burners. I put them in the middle and turned that burner off, and then I had the two outside burners doing the indirect heat on it to hold it at about 300.
Okay, there you go.
It worked pretty well.
That's legit, because 300, right, anyway. 275, 300, that's where you want it. I didn't have a thermometer, so I kind of just eyeballed it, which was not easy, but it could be done. I like that. Huh.
It worked pretty good.
You ever done, our buddy.
Speaking of this, let's dig into it, Josh. We'll make room for what you're going to say. But we haven't done a draft in a long time. I think this is the perfect spot to do a draft and talk about what you want to do. So, without further ado, I've already punched in to our draft randomizer the who will go first. JT, you will be first in this draft. I will be second. Josh, you will be third. And what we are drafting is the absolute best grilling foods. And we could talk about these along the way, because, Josh, I do want to hear what you were about to say. But I want to bring this up.
Yeah.
Absolute best grilling foods. JT, you're on the clock, buddy.
Wow. Okay. To me, the best grilling food is simple. There's only one way to do it. If you're looking for steak, it is a ribeye steak.
Ribeye steak.
Ribeye is the premier cut of a steak. It's the people that enjoy steak know which steak is best. It's always a ribeye. Fat equals flavor. The best marbling, the best steak to go on an open flame on the grill is a ribeye.
Nope. Atrocity.
Mm. No. Ken. If you're cooking over an open flame, it is a ribeye steak. It's the absolute best steak to possibly grill. It's always a ribeye.
Push your.
I will not hear any other arguments.
Push your mic cord in, good JT. You're crackling on us again.
Oh, good God.
Just push it in, good.
That's what she said.
Still crackling.
I just want y'all to know that his mic started crackling the moment Tyler Knight just tweeted at me and was like, JT's mic is going to stop working.
That's really stupid.
That's really freaky is what it is.
So, you were saying ribeye, JT. Josh, you were about to possibly agree or disagree. I'm not sure where you were going with that.
Ribeye's awesome. I'm there's nothing bad about a ribeye, but I don't know if it's the best steak on a grill. Okay, my two cents, best steak for me on a grill, I love a New York strip, but also a filet mignon.
Like same. Oh, no. Oh,
you don't like filet mignon?
No.
Oh.
It's the least flavorful cut of meat.
Oh,
least
flavorful. I don't know if it's the least favorite. It's not. New York strip's my number one, but I also like a good filet.
Yeah, I agree. New York strip's my number one, and then almost every other cut of meat, and then filet mignon. When I was a kid, I liked filet mignon a lot, especially bacon wrap.
Also, if you're new to grilling and you just want a good steak and don't want to throw down, you know, 10 or 15 bucks, you know, each night, go at the end of a week, you know, or even like later at night. You'd be surprised, because they have to get rid of the meat if they don't sell it. So all the time you'll find sales. And you can get a really good sirloin, a good sirloin for like $6-7 all day.
You get the key to a good sirloin is whatever amount of time you think you should cook it, half it. You always overcook a sirloin on the grill. I've tried 1,000 times, and you never undercook a sirloin. I can guarantee you. Like, it's impossible, because they're usually cut fairly thin most of the time. And it's just, I can't. Anyway, I'm on the clock, I guess, aren't I, fellas? I guess I'm going to, JT, you went with the ribeye steak. As much as I think New York strip is number one, I'm gonna have to pander to the people a little bit here, and I'm just gonna go with a good old hamburger. Hamburger on the grill. I don't know if you can really beat old good hamburger on the grill. Yeah.
You go to Wendy's and get a hamburger.
Not a grill, not a homemade grill hamburger.
Like, I've had worse hamburgers off grills than I've had at Wendy's.
Oh, well, that's probably true, too, but I've had worse steaks at home than I've had from a restaurant, too. It's like, hamburger. Just because you can't cook doesn't...
Okay, but the hamburger. Worst thing, can we agree the worst thing possible is when someone says, hey, having a barbecue, and they're grilling hamburgers.
Yeah, that's not the same
Or people thing. That refer right, to yeah. a grill as a barbecue.
You mean Canadians? Canadians are weirdos.
Yeah. These people should be drawn and quartered.
I agree.
I don't disagree. I'm with you. So, but yeah, I'm just going to go with hamburger just because at the end of the day, I think the most consistently easy meal to cook, and there's a, like you said, JT, you can get a very terrible one, but hamburgers for most people, they're feasible money wise. They don't cost you an arm and a leg the way some steaks do and other things. They also, and this is an important feature, I think, to a lot of grill things, and that is hamburgers do not take an enormous amount of time to prep and fix. And I think time input reflects on the value of output. So like ribs, and somebody may choose ribs, so I may go into this more. But like for me, ribs are not a very good top-of-the-line grill food.
Yeah,
and what I mean by that
ribs.
Is, okay, barbecue ribs, smoked ribs, whatever you want to call them. Either way, they're not a very top-of-the-line food because you put a lot of time in and you get very little meat out.
It's not,
and the meat's okay, but you could have done better. It's not economical. It's also, I mean, the meat's okay. It's good. It can be really good. But I still think a steak is better. You know what I'm saying? Like you could do other things and get tastier meat from it.
Well, when I arguably. Think of grill, I'm thinking of a grill, and I'm putting meat on the grill. I'm not thinking of smoking. I'm not thinking of you would grill ribs for a portion, but that's just a part of cooking the ribs. I'm thinking of grilled meats as in things that you would light up on a grill in the summer by the pool. You know.
I'm okay with throwing in some smoke things if you're into smoking. I know it's a little different, but I'm okay with that.
If we're doing that, if we're putting smoke things, I'm just gonna poo-poo on all of you guys, and I'm gonna put ribs as my number one. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's gonna be your number
one. And let me say,
I don't enjoy ribs enough. That's what it comes down to. Like they're good, but it's a ton of work.
Let me try to sell it. Okay, not a lot of prep time. You throw them on the dadgum counter. You throw some butt rub on it. You light the grill. You put them on there. And you drink beer and you watch the NASCAR race, and it's just you know it is longer than a steak, obviously, so it's 3 to 4 hours. But just assuming you can pad that in,
not a lot. It's just 3 to 4 hours.
Well, yeah, but you've already prepped for it. You're already emotionally. You're not. It's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, you're not hungry yet anyway. So you're just hanging out. You got your ribs on the grill, man. It's all gravy. And if you get
that's the difference in me and you, Josh. I'm hungry at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm just saying,
if you get the right rack of ribs, you can get some. I mean, it's worth it. If you do it right, it's totally worth it. I totally get it. It's not we're comparing apples to oranges here a little bit, but if you said
I know.
So.
Sure. Have either of you guys? You're not really from this neck of the wood, but Josh, you ever eaten in Roswell very much? You ever heard of a place called Brookwood Cafe?
Do you know where I went to high school?
No, I don't.
You went to high school?
I went to Roswell High School.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Do you know where Brookwood Cafe is? Like, are you familiar with Brookwood?
No, I've never heard of Brookwood Cafe.
Oh, seriously? Okay.
Is it in downtown Roswell?
Sort of. It's moved now. There's like, it's at a new location. It used to be that you went to Jimmy Carter Boulevard and turned right and went about 5 miles, and it was in a little neighborhood on the left. Now it's moved further over, and it's like off of 75, sort of back up closer to actual Roswell, I think. But anyway,
okay.
Brookwood Bar and Grill, best ribs I've ever had anywhere, bar none. Like, I've had ribs a lot of places, bar none, best ribs ever. It's not even like known as a barbecue place exactly, but their ribs. Phenomenal. Out of this world. Fantastic. You can get double rack. I've had a double rack of ribs from there. It's out of this world good. My dad used to take my mom a couple times a year because it's pretty expensive. I mean, it's like a kind of a swanky place to eat, sort of. And I say pretty expensive. It wasn't like $100 or anything like that. It was like, you know, a good rack of ribs was $40 or $50, you know. And this was 10 or 15 years ago, so it's probably more than that now because price of meat shot up here lately. But yeah, Brookwood Bar and Grill. Some listeners are going to be like, yes, I know that place. That place is awesome. JT,
JT, do you like ribs?
I do. I'm a bit picky about my ribs. My dad makes
the
best ribs.
Your dad's like an 80 grade, like,
yeah, he's like competition barbecue guy. Yeah. So
yeah.
To be fair, I'm a bit barbecue snob because in Macon we have Fresh Air, we have Finchers, we have Old Clinton, we have all these places that have been around for 100 years.
Old Clinton is amazing.
Old Clinton Barbecue is the place. I freaking love that. And then my dad being a bit of a barbecue wizard himself has kind of ruined me on like as you went to Sonny's. I was like, I wouldn't go.
Yeah,
you couldn't pay me to go.
I get
to
it. I get it.
But I'll eat ribs. But I'm a bit like, I'm not gonna go to Longhorn and order ribs. You know what I mean? I'll eat them in the right area, but I'm not gonna go to a restaurant and order the ribs because why would I do that? You know what I mean? I'll get something.
Yeah.
Ribs are also hard to cook in a way that everybody's going to enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's hard to cook in mass quantity. Like, Applebee's has ribs on their menu, but how the hell can they do that? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, ribs are something that takes time and effort. You can't just mass produce ribs the way you can just put a steak on a grill and, you know, flip it a couple of times and it's done. Ribs takes a lot of care and, you know, it's a labor of love. You can't just crank out ribs.
It is.
You know, left and right. So it's like, would you ever get barbecue from a place where you can't see the pit? Like who goes and gets,
I did it, Brookwood.
Who gets pulled pork at like Arby's? You know, like, who are these people that get the pulled pork sandwich? I'm like, it's Arby's. Get the roast beef, idiot. That's all you need to do. But, you know, whenever you see these places that offer pulled pork, I'm like, that came from a bag. That's not what I want.
Yeah, I'll say this, like, the ribs at Brookwood, they're not like a barbecue restaurant when you go in. That being said, they're by far the best.
Now look, if I was at like Dreamland Barbecue, I could get the ribs and be fine. But I'm not going to a place that's not a barbecue establishment and getting the ribs.
You know my favorite I like chopped pork. I mean, pulled pork, chopped pork, same thing, whatever, but like chopped, it's chopped.
It's a Carolina thing. Yeah,
my favorite chopped pork, dude. You might laugh at me because it's kind of like a low hanging fruit. I feel like in Atlanta because it's a little bit, it's not local anymore. Because I think I bought their sauce here in North Carolina.
I know exactly where you're about to go.
Williamson Brothers Barbecue.
Yeah, I was thinking either Williamson or Fox Brothers.
Okay.
And the two.
Yeah, I freaking love Williamson Brothers Barbecue chopped pork. I love it, man. The way they chop it, and it's like a little bit of burnt edges in there. Mm.
Yeah. All right, JT, you're still on the clock, buddy, for the next pick.
Okay, this is going to kill my Southern roots here, but...
Oh, no. I'm sorry. It's not JT. It is Josh. I got out of order there. All right. Josh, it's back to you,
I'm
buddy.
Not going
to
pick another smoking thing, even though I was going to pick a brisket, but that's super pretentious smokerish. I'm going to pick... You know what? I'm going to pick corn. Okay.
you keep it
in the ear. And then, my buddy Mitch Wells that I used to go to church with in Canton, Georgia, he did this thing and he got me doing it. He makes this he calls it his butter boat out of aluminum foil. He makes this like rectangular looking boat out of aluminum foil, throws it on the grill, puts butter in it. It's melted butter. And then he puts the corn in there and just like rolls it around in there. It's off the chain. It's so good.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Mm-hmm. That sounds amazing. All right. That's a good, strong pick. That's back to me. It's so picky. It's so hard to decide because there's so many different options you could go with here. But I think I'm going to have to do this. Guys, I think I'm going to go with the pork chop.
Okay.
Pork chop's a forgotten meat.
Yeah, a grilled pork chop, especially thick cut. Like if you get a, I'm talking like inch thick or thicker.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Thick cut pork chop. You marinate it right. Start like marinate it the day before. There are a couple different ways I go. Sometimes I go like really citrus marinade, and other times I go like brown sugar. You know, like bourbon-y kind of marinade. And either one though, you can do pretty good with them, and serve it up with some. Either grill you some apples like with it, and then make you like a little chutney to put on top of it, kind of, or just get some good old applesauce, especially the thick and chunky applesauce. Serve you some thick and chunky applesauce, and tip here: if you got the thick and chunky, pour it in a little saucepan and heat it up, and just actually put it right on top of your pork chop.
Oh,
it's phenomenal! It's phenomenal.
Okay,
you might even add just a little. You might even add just a little bit of brown sugar to that. Just to add just a little extra sweetness to it, light brown sugar. You don't want the dark; it'll look burnt.
Okay.
But mix the other end. It's strong. I'm telling you, it's pretty good. Pork chop. So for me, pork chop again, economical. I could go higher cuts of meat. You know, you could do a lot of higher end stuff
strong
that
pick.
Would be better.
Strong pick.
But I'm gonna stick with the pork chop. Now let me ask you guys this: bone in or boneless pork chop? Which do you prefer?
I like the bone in.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter to me. We'll go bone in. Why not?
I think, to be honest, I go boneless most of the time. It's just, here's the thing. I waste a ton of meat with a bone in.
Mm-hmm.
Because, especially if you get the thick cut, you can't, there's just no way to get it like right off the bone, and the bone's so thick that you can't like gnaw it right.
Like
a little thin cut pork chop, you can gnaw it. You know, you can like gnaw that bone and it's fine. But like a thick cut one, you're like, I can't get my mouth in there to gnaw on it right.
I can be sold on some boneless.
The thing I like about pork chops too is they're a perfect carrier for anything you want to put on it. So you can go the Meriden route, or you can go into your pantry and any dry rub from steak, chicken, whatever, all works great on pork. So like you can even mix and match, take two different. Your Montreal seasoning for a steak, and then like some funky ass chicken rub you got, you can mix them together and slather that pork chop in it all around, coat that joker, and you'll be just fine.
The cool thing about pork chops, and this isn't really part of the draft, but slow cooker pork chops, that works great too. Put them in the like some apple juice, some barbecue sauce, mix all that together, and put them in the slow cooker and let them cook all day long. And
is there anything worse than somebody that puts the meat directly on the grill without any marinade or seasoning? People do this. People like take a steak.
I've been that guy.
Drop it.
I've been that guy at one point. And now I'm not that guy.
Even a steak. Like I can't take a steak and just put it on the grill. Like it's getting some sort of treatment beforehand. You can't just put meat on the grill. Even if it's a burger, it's getting some sort of treatment on there.
Oh, for sure.
So how do you guys marinate your, like for me, a burger, I go super heavy on pepper, shit ton of pepper,
garlic salt is awesome.
So I make a very special burger, and I've never had the chance to make burgers for you, Josh. I'm surprised I hadn't. I do this a lot of times when folks come into town. I pat out a giant thick patty. You know, like I want a big thick patty that's big, but I cut up an onion, a Vidalia onion, mix it in with my hamburger meat. Okay. I also take Tony's Asheries, add a lot of that into the hamburger meat so that it's got a real spicy kind of flavor to it. Then I take my hamburger meat and I soak. And I mean soak. I put a lot to the point that you're kind of worried that you might have put too much liquid in it. Worcestershire sauce.
Okay, yeah.
And
put a shit ton of it on
soak.
Mine.
Yeah. And then pat them out, and then I add me some good kosher salt. Key is kosher. Either sea salt or kosher salt. Don't get, like, the little iodized salt. You'll oversalt everything. Big old flake kosher salt. Put it on there. And like you said, Josh, I'm cool. I like to over-pepper things. So I'm all about the pepper. And then I can't stand mild cheese on a burger. I want something that's got a lot of bite to it. So either sharp cheddar or Monterey Jack, or you know, something three spice cheese, you know, something like that. I like something that really adds a lot of flavor myself, and then I'll slap that on it on the grill and let it melt in good. But yeah, I'm a thick cut, and then The key with burgers, and I think people get scared because you were growing up thinking that pink is bad in food and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But if you can keep a burger that you home pat with all that stuff, if you can, first of all, don't over pat it because you'll heat the meat up too much and it won't stay pink in the middle. Secondly, you gotta have your grill really hot, char the outside, and then pull that sucker off and don't do anything else to it. And let the inner, let the middle stay a little pink, and that's the way you win burgers. Yeah, it's kind of like my only grill expertise up until a few months ago was making burgers. I kind of sucked at everything else until I kind of got into it. So
hell yeah,
but I could do that. Hmm. Anyway, Josh. JT, let's see. Josh said corn. I said pork chop. JT, it is back
so,
to you.
So I was saying my southern roots will get killed here. But the one thing I will give Yankees credit for, especially ones in the Midwest, is the bratwurst. It's a great tailgate item for a football game. Yeah,
great pick.
You can beer soaked brat. If you find a local butcher, I got one here down the road. That it's not a brat, but a fresh ground sausage. They do it never frozen with jalapeno and cheddar mixed into the sausage. Throw that on with a lot, and then coat it with a lot of sauerkraut, black pepper, and spicy brown mustard. Mm. Oh my goodness, I could eat like three of those. It's a perfect before a football game food, and it's there by the summer day by the pool. July 4th, they're awesome.
I have such a hard time because I like the taste of a bratwurst. It's good. But I'm not a sauerkraut guy. Like, I don't like a lot. I don't like mustard. I don't like ketchup, man. As far as that's concerned.
Ketchup on a hot dog. But, we all appreciate the crappy hot dogs we get at a baseball game. This is that, like, on steroids. And it's so good. And you gotta like kraut. You gotta like pepper. You gotta like mustard. But that's the way to go, man. It's a great holiday.
What is that?
Grilling time.
You know, there's a new store at STP. I can't remember the name of it. It's Truist Park now, the TP. They sell a sauerkraut. They sell a giant kielbasa.
Oh, is that the Third and Long, the Hugh Atchison hot dog place?
No. This is like... I don't think it is. This is like a German kind of place or whatever, and they have fries and they have these giant bratwursts. I know there's one on like the upper decks at the far end, and I think there's one lower down too. But yeah, they're like huge, like giant. I'm sorry, I shouldn't make hand gestures because that's going to get inappropriate very fast. JT, we're at the turn. Back to you, buddy.
So this one I'm going with a little side dish, kind of like Josh did with the corn. But this is a secret that is fantastic when you're grilling a steak. A grilled Vidalia onion is awesome. If you take the onion, you peel it up, you know, take all the peeling off, and then just chop it and get long onion strings. Take that in tinfoil and just drop it in the tinfoil, and then take like an inch and a half of butter, drop that in there, and then just coat it in Worcestershire or soy sauce, whatever you like to do. Dale's seasoning works fine too. And just, you can't do enough of that. Can't do enough. And then just ball it up in tinfoil, put it on the upper rack in your grill, and when you're grilling your steak, just keep that on there. When you're done, just open it up and drop those onions right on top of the steak. It's fantastic. It's like otherworldly good.
I'll have to try that.
It's so easy to do. You can do it with your fridge.
Okay, baby.
All you need is one onion, and the rest of the butter and the seasoning you probably have in your fridge already. It's so easy.
So tell me this, fellas. Grill mats. Yes or no? Do you do the grill mat thing where, you know, it's like a heat holder, you got a mat that you can lay on the grill to cook foods on?
Have you seen these veggie trays they have where it's almost like a tray, almost like, looks like a thing you drop in the deep fryer and you can hold it in there?
Yeah, I got one.
Mm-hmm. I like that because it keeps everything kind of organized, but with a gas grill, honestly, if you've just got tinfoil, you can do everything right through there, and that kind of generates the heat itself and does a good job.
The only thing I like the grill mat for, and I've tried it with several different things now, but the only one that I really appreciate it for is if you're doing salmon. It's so easy to stick salmon or any sort of flaky fish to the grill, and the mat just
keeps
works
it from stick
really
yeah,
well
keeps it from ripping the
also,
fish apart.
It also works well if you doing vegetables and you don't like them blackened. So like if you not a big fan of like your zucchini getting black on the grill, you just want it good and hot and kind of cooked. Grill mat works well for that too. Also works good for shrimp if you're not wanting to, you know, skewer them all. Although the skewers work pretty well, but just saying,
right.
It does. Okay, I guess it's back to me. Let's see. So we got JT with a ribeye, bratwurst, and a Vidalia onion. We got Josh with ribs and corn. Me, a hamburger, a pork chop, and let's see. A lot of different options here. I think I'm just going to have to do it. Give me a chicken half.
Okay.
Like a good old chicken half that I can grill slash barbecue. It's a little bit of both if you do it right. On the grill. And, yeah, I mean, like, you just – I like to take – there's two different ways I like to do chicken. Either get a giant breast that doesn't have the bone in it and slice it down the middle and stuff it full of prosciutto and cheese and then pin it back up and grill it on the grill. And I'm not a big spinach fan. My wife's really not, but I could, if I got a little bit of spinach, I'll chop that up and just mix in just a little bit of spinach with it. Or go the full-on barbecue route like I did this weekend where you basically treat it just like you did those ribs. You put the rub on it, soak it in barbecue sauce, and then you're set to run, you know.
Oh, wow.
And it's like a chicken half, you have to be patient with it. Like I grilled one with the ribs, mm-hmm. and it only took about 8 minutes less than the ribs did. So what I did was Josh, I set it up on the top rack mm-hmm. at 300 and let it cook for an hour, or it was actually more like 50 minutes. And then after the 50 minutes, I dropped it down over the flame and let it get hot enough that it would mm-hmm. actually be like 160 degrees inside, you know, so yeah. It's really good. But it slow cooked the outside then, so that it was good and tender, and then you put that little char and extra heat in it right at the end. And these were gigantic breasts. I mean, you know, like, you know, quadruple G's. I'm just saying. They were, like, really big. But, but yeah. They were good. They worked out, you know.
Nice.
And they were tender all the way through as well. I like to – I'm a big hot sauce fan. So, I had
like barbecue
glazed
chicken?
In some pretty spicy stuff. Yeah. That was pretty much what I did with it. Yeah.
I was going to pick chicken, but – or a hot wing, something like that. But I make my wings in the oven.
Yeah, yeah. Wings are weird on the grill sometimes. Like, I know everybody swears by them, but if you don't really know what you're doing, like, and kind of mm-hmm. have it down to a science, you can mess them jokers up quick.
Right.
You're almost, and I think this is the thing I never understood, and I don't even try them on the gas grill.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, you're smoking wings more than you're grilling them. Like, Josh, the way you describe setting up your Weber is really the way you should almost do wings.
Really? Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I thought, because I know I got some friends that do smoked wings, and I'm assuming they do it that way in a grill. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try it, though. I bet they're good.
You still want it. You could probably get it a little hotter than you got it, mm-hmm. you know, for the slow smoke on the ribs, but it's still kind of – JT – being the expert, probably has better tips on how to do this than we do, JT. But wings,
JT, how do you make wings on the grill?
Yeah,
grill wings? You can
slash barbecue.
Smoked wings are the best way to do wings. Think about smoked wings is they're hard to do because you don't. If you're just doing wings, you're not going to put all that time and effort to make 12 wings. But
right.
If you're smoking other things, like if you're doing let's say you're doing some ribs, doing a brisket or something, get 12 wings from your local Publix or whatever, anywhere,
uh-huh.
and put some dry rub on those jokers and put them on there too. And those 12 wings are going to be, they're going to be like your appetizer before your main course is done.
Ooh.
And smoked wings are better than anything. I love just good old, you know, refried wings, but smoked wings are fantastic. Mm. They carry the flavor. Oh, they're just great. It's tough to really grill wings.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we were saying.
You don't really just straight up grill them, but smoked wings are awesome. You can't find them in bars and restaurants very often because it's just not economical to only smoke wings. But if you're in a good barbecue place, they probably offer smoked wings on the menu, and check them out there. That's the way they should be done.
All right, so JT, you are the last pick here. Back to you.
I picked pick two.
Hamburger, pork chop, and a chicken. Oh, are we doing four? I thought we were on three.
We've
done three. Oh, no. I'm sorry. It's to Josh. Yeah. I keep mixing the order up. I'm sorry. Josh, it is your final pick. What did you just pick? I'm sorry. I think you just made it your pick, didn't you?
No, I didn't pick anything.
Oh, you didn't yet? Okay. Yeah. So what are you picking?
Guys, I'm throwing some frog legs on the grill, motherfuckers.
Oh. See, I've never had grilled frog legs.
Oh, yeah. I've had fried frog legs,
but I've never had grilled ones.
I've had them fried more than grilled, but grilled, and you can do them a shit ton of ways. You can throw a rub on there if you wanted to, or you can throw like Cajun seasoning on there, or just Cajun seasoning and some like some pepper, and garlic, or like barbecue, like imagine just barbecue wings but frog legs.
Where do you get frog legs from anymore?
Okay,
the grocery store carried them when I was a kid, but they don't anymore.
So this is how I discovered them. My brother, when I was living in Rome, my brother Ben, he made them one night in the deep fryer for me because he had just bought them. He said he found them at a store and bought them because he had never had them. And so this was like 5 or 6 years ago. He made them and they blew my mind. And it was one of the
they're good.
It was one of those one of those moments in life where you're like, why? I've been robbed of frog legs. Why aren't frog legs like on the menu at every place? They're so good.
They should be.
So then me and Ben would go to this grocery store in West Rome called GMC Food Mart. It's still there. It's a locally owned grocery store in West Rome, in Coosa, actually. And we asked the butcher if he can get some frog legs. Lo and behold, he did. And for like 3 years, he would stock it with frog legs. I think just for us, because I don't think anybody else bought them. But through all that, I've grilled them, I've deep fried them more than anything, I think. I messed up one night with Nikki. I don't know what I did. I messed them up, but I've grilled them. Grilling them, I think, might be better than frying them, actually, or deep frying them. Yeah, they're great, and they're not like super big, like a chicken, I guess. So you can grill them, you know.
I feel like frog legs are very similar to doing chicken wings.
They are, yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it, after JT sold me on smoking them, I wonder if you can make some 80 grade smoked frog legs.
Sure you can.
Oh my
gosh. Bet you could.
I would lather them up in a good dry rub with like maybe some cayenne pepper on there.
Oh,
smoke them up, give them a nice little kick, a little spiciness, and then you dip them.
I bet you could
dip them in like a
put them in Old Bay.
Yeah, oh, that'd be great.
Some Old Bay would
be good. Like, I'm thinking like a Cajun, like a Zatarain's, almost like a Cajun seasoning.
And then you're dipping
them in the how do y'all say it? Remoulade. How do y'all say that? But you got to have a dipping sauce with frog legs because if you they're easy to overcook and they're easy to make real rubbery.
But you don't want to undercook them.
No, it's, so they're very hard to nail down because if you overcook them, they're too tough and they get real chewy.
Dry. Yeah,
they get real dried out. You don't want to do that. I remember being my dad when he had his bar, they used to do Monday nights, they would do frog legs and jambalaya.
Oh my
I remember coming into work, I worked there Monday, and so I took home some leftovers frog legs. And then I'm at my day job on Tuesday and just nonchalantly was going eating, you know, my lunch or whatever, opened up. And all of a sudden I realized like there's like four people watching me and they've never seen me like somebody eat frog legs before. And I'm just taking apart frog legs and dipping them and eating them. They're looking at me like, what is that? And I'm like, frog legs. And they're like, that's really a frog because you can see the legs. You know, you can see where it's actual frog legs. Yeah.
Now, have you guys ever been frog gigging?
I've never been. I've always wanted to go. Ever since I watched Duck Dynasty, you know.
Yeah, where they go catch frogs in the golf course.
Yeah, like I really want. I know I could get. They're here in the pond in my house.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I never went, but my dad used to go frog gigging with my uncles and great uncles all the time, and they go catch big old frogs, and then they call it a frog gigging because you go catch them, and then the next night everybody had a had frog legs for supper. You know, like they cook them.
Apparently,
the next
people had heard of frog legs, but they thought that was just a thing. Like that's not real, and that people don't really eat frog legs. And I'm like, no, because being a kid down in Jeffersonville, we'd have frog leg cookouts, and we would deep fry frog legs, and everybody sit around and eat frog legs. And I was amazed that people didn't know this was an actual food. You know, like we.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's good.
That's awesome.
That's like people that don't know about, which I've never had them myself. My whole family eats them. I've never been able to convince myself to try them. But are you guys crawdad fans?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Devil. I love crawfish.
Mud
man.
Bugs,
I'll suck their heads all night.
Suck the heads. Yes. Suck the heads.
We're having a crawdad little food gathering coming up next weekend. I
can't get past the looks of them, man. Like I know I would love
yeah,
them.
They're
100%
so
I will quick. Send you some pictures Saturday night. I will be chewing down on some crawdads, and I can't wait.
They're like nothing in the world. They aren't they? You don't even. They have such an interesting seasoning flavor. It's weird. I can't even explain it. It's not like a lobster. It's like
I went to my bachelor party was in Biloxi. And we went down there. We stayed at the Beau Rivage and did some gambling for the March Madness tournament and everything. And we found a good place to eat about a mile away called the Filling Station. And it's an old gas station. They turned into a restaurant. And they have, like, draft beer and crawdads. And, like, I'm telling you, they bring them. Your table has got newspaper on it. And they just steaming them and just drop them on the plate. And it's fantastic. So good.
Now, my family does a Low Country Bowl at least once a year. And... but they don't do the crawdads at that one, but they've talked about doing it. And I was like, oh, do it. I'll talk myself into trying it eventually.
That's what we're doing Saturday night. It's going to be fantastic.
It's like, I'm never going to go somewhere and just order them. But like, if I were to be at a family get together and somebody had them, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to try one.
I don't
know
if it gets much more Southern than this. We're having a Low Country Bowl Saturday because our preacher is moving down to Statesboro. So we're having a go away party for our preacher. And so we're having a Low Country Bowl with some friends of ours that have a place and they're doing it. They throw some crab legs in there and we'll have some shrimp and crawdads and you're Southern when you have a going away party for your preacher.
Oh yeah, yeah. See, my great grandparents used to always they'd have get-togethers on Saturday nights. All of my great uncles great uncles, they would all get together and. They go frog gigging, so they'd have frogs and frog legs, and they would have a Low Country Bowl, and they would do all that together. And then my grandfather JJ would get out his fiddle, and the guys would get out their banjos and a washboard. They actually had a washboard that they played that they kept rhythm on. And my grandfather could play any instrument. He was just one of these guys, self taught. He could sit down and play the piano. He could play the he could play the fiddle. He could play guitar. So, like, a bunch of his kids played, too. So they would just sit down and make music. I'm sure I was too young to really see this part, but I'm sure a lot of homemade refreshment was passed around as well because my grandfather, JJ, he had JJ's Corner Store. And my mom worked for him when she was young. She was like 12, 13, 14. And one day she was going to organize JJ's Corner Store for him. So she pulled out all the barrels and had them organized in the front of the store and all this other stuff and had it up on the shelf. And JJ came walking in and he said, "Oh, Lord, child, we got to get this stuff back in the back," because mom had taken everything out of the back that was used for making moonshine and stacked it on the shelves really nicely because JJ was the local supplier for all of the distilleries around our area and in the Gumlog area, which was very well known for making moonshine in this area in North Georgia. In fact, a lot of the early guys a lot of the early NASCAR guys would run from North Carolina down to Gumlog, which is where we're at, to run moonshine back and forth. And
Kenny,
there's nothing like all that.
I just got the link you sent me of the Brookwood Grill. Totally went there for my like homecoming dinner in high school.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's
nice.
Yeah, I know exactly where at least it used to be. I don't know if it's still there.
Yeah, it's moved. Yeah. It's moved.
It was basically on Holcomb Bridge Road. It was near.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
near.
It still is, sort of. I think it's just a lot further away
now. That's hilarious, man. Yeah, Yeah, I went to Roswell High School. Fun fact. Hmm.
I love that place, though. It's fantastic. Best ribs I've ever had.
Brookwood Grill.
By far.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, it's been another fun week on Knock Home Nation Podcast Show. We get to talking about all kinds of random stuff, and you never know what might happen. We ended up this week talking about grilling foods. A lot of fun. We'll catch you next time on the Knock Home Nation Podcast Show. Josh, explain to people why they should become a patron and support the show.
I mean, you're part of a brotherhood. You know, you're investing in something bigger than yourself. You know, you feel like you belong. You know, and you have ownership. You know, you can have input because we are influenced by our patrons. You know, we actually are. So you can
we're total sellouts.
So you become a patron and you own part of probably the leading, you know, thought leading podcast in the world. If you really think about it. So if you go to patreon.com/knockemination, you can become a patron for like $5 a month, you know?
Yeah.
And you can support the cause as we fight this invisible enemy, guys. You know, we're in this together.
You never know. You never know. Next year, Spotify might buy us for $1 million, give us $1 million contract.
Right. If they gave Joe Rogan $100 million, I would put us at 25. All day.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure. And you could be on the front end of that.
Are we the only...
You were here first.
I mean, let's call a spade. We're the only right-leaning sports podcast, maybe in the entire world.
Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis might be...
We're definitely the only...
A little bit... Even though he's a liberal Democrat, he at this point, I think people consider him right-leaning.
We're definitely the
somehow.
Only right-leaning baseball-centric podcast, even though we didn't talk about baseball at all in this podcast.
We did not talk about any sports today at all. And that's kind of normal for us.
Frog gigging is a sport, though.
It's true.
Eating is a sport, too.
Yes. And since I
at barbecue,
since I kind of look like Joe Rogan's younger brother, maybe I should get like $10 million.
Guys, did you realize that Luke Wilson and Owen Wilson are brothers. Did y'all realize
that?
Yeah,
known that forever. What? How would you?
I never realized that. The guy that played, in old
How'd
school.
How'd you not know that?
And
yeah, everybody knows that.
I they got an older brother, too, that's an actor?
Didn't know that.
I think his name's Chad.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, he's kind of a famous actor, too. I can't remember what movie he's in, though, off the top of my head. Anyway. Thanks for listening. It's been another week here at the Culmination Podcast Show.
Wow.
Thanks for listening to the nation's leading replacement-level podcast. Knockahoma Nation is brought to you by Knockahoma Nation patrons. To become a patron, visit patreon.com/knockahomanation. For new episodes and content, visit knockahomanation.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @NakahomaNTN. Special thanks to research assistant Braves Options Guy and spiritual advisor John D. Howard. See you next week, knuckleheads.